From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of July 17, 2006, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. Great to have you with us. And if you are like me in North America, you are most likely hot. It is very hot. Air conditioning, good. Coming up on the show this time, we're going to meet a guy named Brett Comensoli. He's the president of a discontinuum club in the Chicago suburbs, and they're finding some big, big, big success at their tournaments this year. Over 200 players per event on average. We're going to talk to him about their success. We've got results from the Brett Hambrick Memorial Open in Ohio, last weekend's national tour event, and we'll preview the upcoming NT, the Skylands Classic in Warwick, New York. There's a very cool all-weather paper that is available for scorecards. We'll tell you about that. And you can improve your practice routine with tips from world champion Nathan Doss, who will be joining us this week in the 60-second plan. It is all on the way this week on PGA Radio News, brought to you by Innova Champion Discs at InnovaDiscs.com and by Discgrad at Discgrad.com.
Controlled distance has a new name. Discraft presents the Surge Maximum Distance Driver in the new ESP line of grippy, durable, high-tech plastic. One throw and you'll know. The Surge was engineered for one purpose, to allow the average disc golfer to throw farther with more control. And the new ESP plastic means it's grippy, yet built to last. The Surge Maximum Distance Driver, available now from Discraft, the world leader in disc sports. The PDGA's big guns were in Columbus, Ohio last weekend for the Brett Hambrick Memorial Open. And we'll begin with the Masters Division. And here's a name we've mentioned once or twice or a million times. He's three-time Masters World Champ out of Georgia. Brad Hammock is your winner by 13. Over the cup, Steve Weiskamp, who will take second place. John Ferentzen and the always dangerous Rocky Russell tie for third in the Masters. To the women's division, and your world champions winner here, Des Redding, by three over Burl. Kerry Berlanger will take second place at this one, and the up-and-coming hot shooter, Valerie Jenkins, takes third in the women's division. And in the open division, no real big surprises here either, I'm afraid. David Felberg out of Oregon has a hot second round 44. He's going to finish 3,500 for the weekend, $1,620 in his pocket. For the victory, Stevie Brinster out of New Jersey and Barry Schultz tie up for second place. And that's how it went at the Brett Hambrick Memorial Open. Time for the 60-second clinic, and if you are a regular listener to this program, you may know that I was on vacation for the past couple of weeks, so we did zillions of old clinics. We just ran tons of clinic reruns, and I got a couple of emails basically saying, hey, that was great. You know, you should go on vacation more often. Well, we've got a real treat for you this week on the clinic. World champion Nate Doss is our guest. He's going to talk about his practice routine. Maybe you'll learn something.
For either a professional or an amateur's practice routine, you definitely want to think about practicing what you're going to be doing out on the course. That, you know, that doesn't mean going out to your local course and playing your holes over and over again. You know, that means going maybe out to an open field or just trying to work on specific anhyzer shots or hyzer shots. And another main thing that I like to tell a lot of amateurs is to not overdo yourself. You know, the body, you know, you have to take care of your body. You have to, you know, you don't want to go out there and throw 10,000 shots a day. Just go out there and you know, get a sweat going and make sure you work on what you need to work on. You know, my general theory is, you know, there's too much is too much. You know, some people say there's never too much, but too much is definitely in this game too much, you know. And I think finding that right spot for you where you feel comfortable with the shots is right where you need to be, you know, even though you feel, well, maybe you threw a bad one, but you know, you're throwing 100 shots, you know. So just be comfortable with what you're doing, and you know, the practice routine is, it's different for everybody. But just make sure you concentrate on the shots that you may be facing. Think about where you're going, or you know, the course that you've practiced or something like that. But yeah, try to keep your practice routine as simple as possible is the main thing.
Professional disc golfer Nathan Doss is the 2005 PDGA Disc Golf World Champion. He lives in California.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drives no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with a new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
Hi, this is Dave Felberg, and you're listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture, if you're a tournament director, you may have been noticing over the past few years diminishing numbers of players at your tournaments. Now, there are a number of theories behind this decline in players at any given tournament. For example, there are lots more tournaments now. Even 5 years ago, there's a huge increase in tournaments, so players have a lot more choice. Number two is the cost to get there. We all know gas is sky high, so players are staying closer to home. Number three, the cost of the tournaments themselves. A lot of players are saying, wow, you know, I'm an M, I'm going to a B tier. Do I really want to shell out $60, $70 just to get my butt whooped? And of course, if you're a pro, you can double, maybe even triple those numbers. Well, there's still one club that's finding not only success, but increased success. They are the Discontinuum Disc Golf Club of Northeastern Illinois. They're in the northern suburbs of Chicago. So we wanted to find out, hey, what's the deal behind the success? And the guy to talk to is club president Brett Comensoli. We reached him at his home this week in Round Lake Beach, Illinois.
My name's Brett Comensoli. PDGA number 19325. I'm president of Discontinuum Disc Golf Club out of the northern Illinois suburbs of Chicago.
And Brett, you guys are finding some major success with your events, especially this year. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, we started in 2003 with our first event, with our first sanctioned event in the northern suburbs of Chicago. We had a pretty decent draw, and we decided to expand the series in 2004 with three events. And we worked hard, and we drew about 80 players per event, and we decided that we wanted to continue to go at it. And it's led to this year, where we've expanded in 2005 and 2006 to seven events, and our first three events have filled to max capacity of over 200 players.
That is fairly impressive, considering the fact that you are in the Chicago suburbs. You've got a fairly large population base to draw from. But tell me about your course base. What about your courses?
Our courses, I hate to say it this way, but our courses are not really good courses. I mean, they're average, very beginner-friendly courses. They're fairly short, and they lack shul. I mean, there's tree obstacles on some courses, but, you know, they lack the rough that when you get into, you know, you're not going to pay the penalty for that. So the one positive thing about our courses is they are in the suburbs. Players drive by them, and they see players playing disc golf or new players. And that's how I learned about disc golf. I had no idea what disc golf was. I drove by the course down the street from my house when I moved up to the Chicago suburbs. Saw people throwing them, and I was like, I got to go check that out. And ever since, I've been playing disc golf. So there's a lot of players, a lot of people in general that are exposed to disc golf in this area.
So then you've got a pretty solid player base, but your courses, you know, as you admit, aren't the best in the world. So what do you attribute to the success of your tournaments? Now, you run the IOS series of tournaments, and that stands for what, the Illinois Open Series?
That is correct.
Okay. Where's this success coming from, Brett?
I think one thing, we sat down and we really talked about entry fee. I think the first year we pushed away some players with a higher entry fee. We decided to go with lower entry fees across the boards for all divisions. For example, for intermediate recs and juniors, we're charging $23 to play. They get a $15 player pack, and they, you know, they get to play the tournament. And then they find pretty good value for their money, and it's a cheap Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, depending on when they're playing.
Now, so are you talking about like a B-tier event here, a C-tier? Or
yeah,
what?
We're running all B-tier events for amateurs, and then we run most of our events as C-tier for pros, and we'll have one B-tier for pros. But, I mean, for the most part, we're all B-tier.
And what kind of feedback are you getting from the players? Are they specifically saying, hey, I came in and I wanted to play this weekend and I'm going to specifically because, you know, you've got some lower entry fees than other events that I've been to?
In the wintertime, I talk to a lot of our player base, and I do get some feedback from players during the tournament year. And we have players who really like the lower entry fee. I know this year we've been offering the trophy-only entry fee of $14 for amateurs, where they come, they get a $15 player pack, and they play for the trophy. If they finish in a prize spot, they don't get any prizes. But if they would win, you know, if they take first place, second or third, and there was a trophy, they would get a trophy. And we've had a lot of people take advantage of this. Especially, we've been finding that a lot of our intermediate players are coming on Saturday and playing advanced trophy only for $14. And then they're coming back on Sunday and they're playing a full fee intermediate. And so they're playing basically two tournaments on the same weekend. And we're finding a lot of players doing that. You know, there's 15 to 20 players that seem to be doing that every weekend when we run one of our events.
You're finding that the trophy only and the split days is bringing in a lot of the amateurs, the intermediates, the recreational players. What about the pros? What do the pros think of your lower fees?
For the most part, we charge $45 for pros to play. We've had pretty good feedback. I play pro this year, and I've been talking to the pros, and they seem to like it. It's cheaper. You know, we're not drawing, you know, the 1,000-rated players on. We're getting a few here and there, but we're not getting the big dogs. Your mid-tier pro or your mid-level pro, they enjoy the $45 entry fee compared to, you know, when they're paying $60, $70 to $100. They enjoy coming. They're able to compete. And we have a lot of guys who are able to compete in cash. So they've really enjoyed the entry fees. And we've even discussed maybe going a little lower. It seems to be working pretty good.
Now, I know that you're doing one other thing that I suspect may be drawing some extra pros to at least certain events, and that is you're rolling over your ace pool. Tell me about that.
We have seven events, and each day we have an ace pool. And if the ace pool is not hit, we roll it over to the next day. So, for example, at our first event, it was not hit on Saturday. It was rolled over to Sunday. And I don't have the exact numbers, but it was close to $250 going into Sunday. So the ace pool started Sunday at $250. There was actually an ace hit on Sunday, but the guy that hit it did not pay, so he did not win it. So it rolled over to our second event, and we just keep rolling it over. We have put a cap on it at $750. And at our third event, it was $750 on Saturday, and we had carload of Michigan guys come, and the kid that hit the ace actually said the only reason he came was to hit the ace pool. So this advanced amateur, he won $750 and he took first place in advance, and he was a pretty happy camper going home.
So
it's drawing players.
Okay, one other point that you mentioned to me earlier that seems like this is a good time to bring it up is your player packs. Now you don't necessarily buy into the traditional here's your one disc of whatever and here's your t-shirt. What are you doing with your player packs?
Yes, we offer a $15 player pack to all our amateurs. They basically, we call it brass cash. It's Bruce Brakel had these coins minted. You know, there's $10 coins, $5 coins, $1 coins. And we give those out as payouts. So we give out $15 worth of coins to all amateurs for their player pack. Well, you know, the one thing we started doing this is because we were tired of going to tournaments ourselves and getting a crappy T-shirt or getting a couple stickers and a disc that you never throw. So we started offering player packs that players are going to use. They can pick out a disc with this funny money. They can pick out a t-shirt. They can save for bigger items with their payouts. We have a lot of players that, you know, they're getting equipment or merchandise that they want instead of, you know, here, take this T-shirt and you're just going to throw it away after you're done with it.
So let me see if I understand this, Brett. If I am an AM player and I want to come to an event and I want to play for a trophy only, it is going to cost me $14 to enter, and my player pack is $15 in funny money?
That is correct. You're going to get a $15 player pack for that $14, and you're going to, you know, play the event, get your PDGA ratings and points, and possibly win a trophy. We've also had players running side bets on the side where they're betting their player packs against one another and trying to win more. After our events, we've had players using their funny money and having driving competitions, betting funny money for and trying to win more. It's been a pretty enjoyable experience to see these players come up with some unique situations to try to win more funny money. It's kind of funny, actually.
Well, obviously, when the club is buying discs, they're buying it in some form of, you know, bulk, so you're not paying full retail price when the club is buying the disc. But still, if you're actually giving out in the player package more than necessarily is coming in, I mean, how is the financial health of the club doing?
The financial health of the club is very good. Bruce Brakel's our merch man, so our club actually does not have to deal. We have a, you know, a pretty good situation where our club does not have to worry about any extra merch, losing money on merch. He handles all the merchandise on the site, which helps a lot. But, you know, we have a philosophy that me, Bruce, and John have worked together for several years. We have a philosophy that as tournament directors, we're not going to make money off of the players' entry fees. Basically, what it comes down to is, you know, the money that's coming in is, we're taking about $2 per player on average that goes into the tournament directors, whether it's the clubs or the tournament director's pocket. And then the rest of that money is getting paid back out in payouts or player packs. The money that is made is coming off cash sales from discs, which is either players or casual. So we kind of have a different philosophy.
Brett, when I was doing some research and preparing for our interview, I was looking around online, and you have a pretty significant online profile. You're out there. You're making things happen. So tell me how you and the club use the Internet to help promote your events and to get more people there.
The Internet is just it's such a huge resource. First of all, if you're a tournament director or you're a club trying to run events, disc golf is, you know, it's an internet sport. You got to create a website, get your information, get as much information out there so players have that available. Post your flyers so players have that. So that's a big aspect of getting an event started. So players know when the event is and know the information. Using the forums, there's so many different clubs and forums. It's so easy to reach a lot of players. I post pretty much when events coming up, I'll be posting on around 20 forums that are pretty local. So I go through and I do a lot of copy and pasting, but some players don't do a whole lot of searching, but on their club forum, they do read it, and it's a good way to get to an extra 10 to 20 players. So that's been a very useful tool, and I get a lot of feedback from that. People know me by my screen name, CE Valkyrie, on the forum, so people do know me by that. They're like, "Oh, you're Brett Consoli, CE Valkyrie." It's pretty neat. So you can reach a ton of players that way. Another huge resource is through the PDGA tournament page. The sooner you can get your event listed on the tour page, the better. And then using that to list pre-registered players, so players see, you know, how many players are registered. For example, for Rockford coming up, we've already began putting names in. There's almost 50 players. And, you know, when players see that there are going to be more players there, they're willing to drive an extra half an hour to an hour to play an event that they know people are going to be at.
And, Brett, the next club event is what?
It's going to be on July 29th and 30th in Rockford, Illinois. It's actually the Illinois Open Series number 4. It's our premier event. We're going to try to accommodate 144 players each day. It's an AM Nationals qualifier, and we're looking for over 200 players again, and it'll be a great event.
I'm starting to think that people might want to get pre-registered, as that may be full. Brett, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks, Brian, and hopefully we see a bunch of players out there on July 29th and 30th at Antipage in Rockford, Illinois.
Brett Commensoli is the president of the Discontinuum Disc Golf Club of Northeastern Illinois in the northern suburbs of Chicago. You can find them on the web at discontinuum.org. That's discontinuum.org. For more information, and there's certainly plenty of information to find at that website. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. This weekend, the PDGA National Tour rolls into Warwick, New York for the Skylands Classic. The tournament director is Dan Doyle.
Skylands Classic, this is our second year running this National Tour event. We had run a bunch of smaller events in prior years, and we just decided that we wanted to be a part of the big time, and we ran our first one last year, and it was very successful. We had a great turnout. People seemed to be very satisfied with the quality of the event, and we decided to do another one this year, and it's probably going to be at an even higher level than the first one we ran in 2005. The defending champs are all back. Ken Climo in the Open division, Burrell in Women's Open, and Joe Mella in Masters. I think what makes our course interesting, we're definitely not the longest course people will play. I think it's the fact that we've got so much variety on our course. I think it's hard to claim that any two holes are even close to being alike. So we use cliffs, we use uphill, downhill, open, woods. And I think the key to scoring well on our course is being able to be really creative, to come up with a lot of different unusual shots and to be able to pull them off. The other thing that's interesting about our course is that we've got two baskets and two tees permanent on every hole. So the layout changes every single round. So you don't just play the same layout and get in a groove. You're not going to get into a groove on this course. So I think it's creative, and then following through on that creativity with good execution is what's going to separate the top players from the rest. Our event is unique in that, first of all, this year we're the last National Tour qualifying event for the USDGC, so a lot of people are coming that maybe hadn't qualified at other events. We have what we believe are two of the best players' parties offered anywhere. We've got a welcoming party when players come into town where we're bringing volunteers and sponsors into a local winery. And the quality of the course, I think, it's the combination of all three, of having a first-class, well-run event on world-class courses with great sponsors and a volunteer staff that's really on the ball. I think we try to make the event as hassle-free and as enjoyable as possible, and players know that.
Dan Doyle is tournament director for this weekend's National Tour event, the Skylands Classic at Warwick in New York. 18 bajillion disc golf amateur players are gearing up to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma next week for the PDGA Amateur Disc Golf World Championships. Good luck to everyone there. And if you're not headed to Tulsa, you may be lucky enough to be in Bedminster, England for the British Open and what I call the most beautiful course in the world. In Aspen, Colorado this weekend, it is Kiss the Sky. Madison, Wisconsin, 14 years of the Mad City Open. Congrats to you guys. Amateur plan on Saturday, pros in advance on Sunday. In Durham, North Carolina, the Big Valley Challenge this weekend, or in Aurora, Colorado, it's the Mile High Classic. Temperance, Michigan, hosting the Vienna Park Open, or, because, hey, gas is expensive, if you're in Michigan, you might think about Shelby Township for the Gale Vaughn Memorial. And in Minnesota, the Red Cross Fundraiser 3. Full list anytime. PDGA.com. Finally this week, there's something I just got to share with you. This is a product. And normally we don't talk about products on this show. We're just not a product-oriented kind of show. But this is just too cool, and I had to share it with you. I'll tell you who turned me on to this stuff is Sonny Beach, the president of the Ann Arbor Club. And he says, here, try this. It's called Write in the Rain Paper. And it does just that. You can write on this. I don't care how. I mean, I put this through the serious test. If you got a pencil, you can write on this stuff. It's not going to smudge. You could be doing it underwater. And you know, I'm holding some right now. You know, it feels like regular paper, but it'll hold up to the most torrential rainstorm. And if you're a tournament director and you've held an event in the rain, you know how nasty it is trying to figure out what people have written and then have had smudged on their scorecards. So check this out. They're on the web, writeintherain.com, R-I-T-E,
in the rain. Just do a Google search, you'll find them. And I highly recommend this for any tournament director. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of July 17th. For the PDGA, I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsors this week, Innova Champion Discs and Discgraph. And until next time, I hope you'll get out there, huck some plastic, drink plenty of fluids, and keep them in the fairways.